everyone. My name is Michael Raffatti. I'm a graduate student at Illinois State University, and I've been working with Dr. Shalimar Armstrong with synchronizing the mineralization of cover crops with corn growth stages. So as all of you, I'm sure, know, one of the major environmental concerns today is with the hypoxic zone in the Gulf of Mexico. The USGS is reporting that agriculture contributes about 70% of the total N reaching the Gulf of Mexico each year, with row crop agriculture contributing about 50%. So in response to trying to reduce the hypoxic zone in the Gulf, the EPA had each state come up with a nutrient loss reduction strategy. And Illinois' nutrient loss reduction strategy states that has a goal of a 15% reduction in nitrogen reaching Illinois waters by 2025. And extensive research has been done to try to demonstrate how we can reach this goal. And one of the ways is with nitrogen timing. By spring applying nitrogen, we can reduce the amount of nitrogen reaching the streams. But the problem with that is in central Illinois, 50 to 75% of the farmers still fall apply their nitrogen. So as an alternate tool, we're looking at cover crops as a way to help stabilize that. And it's been shown that cover crops can stabilize 60 to 80% of the fall applied nitrogen. And actually, cover crop adoption has been greatly increasing over the last few years. In the U.S., according to the CTIC cover crop survey, from 2010 to 2014, we've seen about a 30% increase in cover crop adoption per year. And the trend is similar in Illinois. So in Illinois, we're looking at EQIP contracts for cover crops. In 2011, there was only 20 EQIP contracts. And by 2013, we had over 295 EQIP contracts in Illinois. So our next thought was the majority of cover crop research in the area is the cover crop's ability to scavenge that nitrogen and protect it in the plant form, but there hasn't been very much research in determining how that nutrient is released back to the soil. So what we were planning on looking at is, will the plant available nitrogen mineralized from the cover crop residue be available by the critical corn growth stages? So our research objectives were to investigate the impact of cover crop species on the return of plant available nitrogen and to synchronize the plant available nitrogen with the critical corn growth stages with soil moisture, rainfall, and soil temperature. So our experimental site is located in Lexington, Illinois at the Illinois State University Teaching and Research Farm. We have 15 0.2 hectare plots with three replicates and five treatments. The treatments are, cover crop treatments are cereal rye, daikon radish, a mixture of cereal rye, daikon radish, a controlled treatment which doesn't have any cover crops on it, and a zero control treatment which has no cover crops and no fertilizer added. Within each one of these treatments, we also have a sub-treatment. So we have four sampling sites. Two of them are out of corn sampling sites. So once the corn emerges, we remove a 1 meter by 1 meter section. We do this to we soil sample there, and we do this to try to see the influence of cover crops on the total inorganic N within the soil without the influence of the corn uptake throughout the season. And then we have in-corn sampling sites. But for the sake of this presentation, all of the data is going to be from the out-of-corn sampling sites. So as for methodology, we're in a continuous corn situation. We are in a fall-applied fertilizer application system with a green N application, which is basically, after you establish the cover crops in the fall, we apply anhydrous ammonia directly into the established cover crop stand in our hopes that the nitrogen will be right there to interact with the cover crops. And then in the fall, before the daikon radish is terminated from the cold, from the frost, we get above ground biomass samplings. And in the spring, we get another above ground biomass sampling to determine the biomass and uptake for the cereal rye. In the spring, we terminate the cover crops about 2 weeks before corn planting and incorporate it in with tillage. And starting at the termination of the cover crops, we take biweekly soil samplings to track the release of that nitrogen. So we've had this site established for 4 years, and over the 4 years, the average cover crop uptake for radish, cereal rye, and the mixture are shown right there. So radish and cereal rye produce about the same with 300 kilograms per hectare for biomass, and the mixture produced a little bit less on average. And for uptake, we see that cereal rye on average is taking up about 150 kilograms of N per hectare, and this, The daikon radish, which terminates earlier in the winter, isn't quite taking up as much. It's only taking about 110 kilograms per hectare, and the mixture even less. So knowing that, we're going to look at the weather between 14 and 15. This is when the mineralization study was being done to determine how the cover crops reacted within the two seasons. So for 2014, that's shown in the red there. We see at the very first date that it's a little colder than the 2015, but besides that, it's very similar throughout the entire growing season. Where the seasons are very different is with the soil moisture and the rainfall. So the 2015 is shown in the green. So in 2015, we had almost twice as much rainfall as compared to 2014. So the soils were a lot wetter, a lot more saturated for a longer period of time throughout the year compared to 2014. So just to kind of start with the 2014 season, I have on the control, that dotted line on the top in the orange is the soil temperature, and each one of the bars is a rainfall event measured in millimeters. So if you look towards the spring, right around the middle of May, we see a slight spike in total soil inorganic N. That correlates with an increase in soil temperature along with not an excessive amount of rainfall. We had enough rainfall to keep the soils moist, but not enough to completely flush the system. So if we look at that same time period for the cover crop treatments, we see a much greater increase in the total soil inorganic N. This is for the cereal rye treatment. You see that at that once we have that warm up with adequate moisture, we see a great increase in total soil inorganic N. And we see the same with the tillage radish treatment. And actually, that peak starts a little bit earlier, and that could be due to the earlier mineralization. We believe in these peaks are most likely due to, so since you have the cover crop residue there, you're going to have increased microbial activity and diversity. So you're breaking down the cover crop residue, and you're helping break down the corn residue that's there too. And then for the mixture, we see in the same similar trend. Now, 2015 was a very different year. We had a lot of rainfall, but we have two peaks kind of for this graph. We have one, that third point right there, and another one a little later on. But we had a lot of rainfall, and we see with the cereal rye, it has that similar spike, but there's no significant difference between them. And we see kind of that similar trend with all the treatments. Now, for the radish, you see that huge spike right at the beginning, right at termination. And this is most likely due to we had a warmer, so January through March was a lot warmer in 2015, so there was more potential for that radish to break down before the cereal rye was terminated. And then again with the mixture, it's a similar trend we see throughout where once we have the temperature increases, we see increases in the total soil inorganic N. But now that we know generally how the weather's influenced it, we're going to kind of take a closer look at the critical stages throughout the growing season. So this is at the termination of the cover crop, usually in mid-May, or mid-April, I'm sorry. And what we want to see is there's a lot more mineralization in 2015 compared to 2014. And if you look at the average air temperatures, it's about a degree, or yeah, about 2 degrees warmer for the average months, and the soil temperature is about a degree and a half warmer too. So there's a lot more opportunity for mineralization of the residue. And what's also interesting is that we only applied 200 kilograms per hectare of anhydrous ammonia, and we have more than that in the soil profile right now. So this, again, could be caused by increased microbial activity. You're breaking down that residue faster, so you're seeing a more of a response. And this is at when we planted the corn again. This is around early May for both years. We see that in 2015, there's a lot of inorganic nitrogen within the soil profile. In 2014, we see that the radish has a lot more inorganic N within the profile when compared to the control. But at the V3 stage is where everything kind of switches. So in May of 2015, we had 132 millimeters of rainfall compared to 2014, where we only had 65. So all of that nitrogen that was within the profile got flushed out. Unlike in 2014, where we had warm soil conditions and adequate moisture to promote mineralization. So we see this huge spike in all the cover crop treatments in 2014. And if we go look at the application rate again, we are well above how much we actually applied in the cover crop treatments. This is the V6. This is usually around early to mid-June, and we see a similar trend in 2014. The radish and the rye treatments had a lot more inorganic nitrogen within the soil profile compared to the control. In 2015, we had record high rainfalls in June, so we had standing water, so there was increased denitrification and leaching and very little mineralization occurring during June because the soils were so saturated. So once we know all this, we can look at crop uptake to see how that was influenced. So this is the crop uptake. The dark gray color is the 2014 year and the green color is 2015. In 2014, the only treatment we see that had more uptake than the control was the radish. The rye treatments did not have as much. And in 2015, we see that a similar trend where the radish took up about as much as the control, if not more, and the other treatments did not take up as much. And then how this correlates with yield, we see in 2014, the radish and the cereal rye treatments had significantly more, and the mixture did not. And in 2015, the control had a higher amount when it wasn't seen in the rye. So as a conclusion, to kind of wrap everything up, in years of average temperature and rainfall, cover crops have demonstrated the ability to potentially increase the soil inorganic N at the V3 and V6 corn growth stages. In abnormal years, we did not see as much of that effect, most likely due to the above average rainfall and increased leaching denitrification. The daikon radish treatment at the V6 upstrate, N uptake, or V6 crop growth stage had a greater N uptake than the control in both years, and the treatments with cereal rye did not. And in 2014, the radish and cereal rye treatments yielded greater than the control, but no significant SIS-15 was observed. So as a result of this research, we're planning to investigate the impact of cover crops on the soil microbial activity and diversity and to continue to look at that. And are there any questions?
Okay. Thanks, Michael.